Numbers chapter 32. The last time we saw that the time had come for Israel to execute the vengeance of the Lord against the Midianites for the wickedness they had done against the people of God. Moses commanded Israel to select out of the tribes 1,000 warriors from each of the 12 tribes, 12,000 total, to go to battle with Phinehas, the son of the high priest, Eleazar, having the silver trumpets to blow. And that would be used to give a signal of sorts. And so they went and slew all the males in that area, including the five kings of Midian and Balaam, the false prophet. They burned their cities, destroyed the great, remember those castles? The big residences that they had there of the Midianites, and took a lot of spoil. And then Moses, Eleazar, and the princes of the congregation went to meet with the warriors and saw all the spoils that they had taken. And before allowing them to re-enter the camp, it was necessary that the defiled be purified. So on the third and seventh days, purification water was sprinkled on all the people, all the captives, and on everything else. And certain other things that could abide to fire were put through fire. And after all of this is cleansed, the warriors, the souls of the captives, all the spoils, there was, you remember, there was determined a means for distributing the spoils among the nation. Everybody was to have a part of this. First, the spoils were divided into two equal parts among the nation of Israel. One for the warriors and the other for the 12 tribes, or all the camps that were far off from the tabernacle. So the spoils were distributed, divided into warriors and the congregation of those that were camped out far off from the tabernacle. Then a tribute was levied. The warriors' tribute was to pay a 500th part of all the spoils to Aaron's family. The congregation's tribute was to pay a 50th part of all their spoils to the tribe of Levi, that is Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. And what that does, in effect, it was a tribute or of a tithe. That part which the tribe of Levi received was exactly 1/10 of the total spoils of war. And that part which the family of Aaron received was exactly 1/10 of Levi's part. And you wouldn't know that unless you went and figured some of this out. So that's why you want to do this. You learn some of this. Because that's exactly what the tithe, how the tithe is distributed to Aaron, his sons, and to the Levites. I'm not going to go there, but I will reference you to Numbers chapter 18, verses 25 to 28. The Levites received 1/10 of all. Aaron then received 1/10 of what Levi received. That's exactly what happened. I thought it was interesting. The chapter then closes with what I call a free will offering of thanksgiving. And this was a voluntary contribution that the officers and captains dedicated to the service of the tabernacle. It was a large sum of gold jewelry given because the Lord had spared every soul of them that came into the battle. Not one of them died in the battle. And so they were grateful and offered this to the Lord. In Numbers chapter 32, there are two tribes that desire, of all things, not to cross over into the land of Canaan. They prefer to remain where they are presently on the east side of the river Jordan. After some discussion, it is agreed with conditions, and another half of a tribe is also allowed to remain there. So the chapter ends with the eastern landmass being distributed. Now, the discussion we read here, when you kind of separate it all out, get to the main points, it's kind of funny when you read it. It comes across that way to me in a way. The discussion between Reuben and Gad with Moses back and forth is something like this. Moses, we want to stay here. Moses, what? You don't want to go over there? No, we want to stay here, but we'll fight over there. Well, Moses, if you'll do this, fine. Otherwise, your sin's going to find you out. And they say, we'll do it. So then Moses turns to the witnesses, Eleazar, and the chief fathers of the tribes, and look, if they do this, fine. If not, they must forfeit everything on that side and come over. And it's like, we're going to do it. And so that's the idea. That's the way the discussion goes quite through almost to the end of the chapter. So not having a lot really to say along the way, a couple of things, beginning at verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. Interesting. All of the tribes had received an allotment of the spoils. You remember that? And there was much cattle, many beasts from the war. But evidently, by the word of God, they had their own livestock beside this, which they had brought with them and had continued with them all along this 40-year journey that they brought from Egypt. And there are several scriptures that show they brought up beasts, their livestock, with them out of Egypt. Now, I want you to notice here that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, that's the order. After this, the names are reversed. It's always Gad and then Reuben. Reuben, all I can figure is that he's mentioned because in the southern camp, there were three, Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. And the standard of the southern camp is Reuben. So you'd call the entire camp of these three tribes the camp of Reuben. And so they're mentioned first, but I think it's turned, again, it's just my opinion, because of Gad might have had more interest in what we see here. So anyway, think about this. They had very much cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer, evidently where they were, they could look up beyond where they were, on beyond the tip of the Dead Sea on the eastern side of the River Jordan, up about midway to the Sea of Galilee, or as we'll read here, Kinnereth. They could see that far. So they saw this land and the land of Gilead, which is even beyond that, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. Now, I'm going to say this because we might not think about it as we read the scriptures, but the names of the places are very often given to us before they're actually named this. For example, we just read the land of Gilead. It's not the land of Gilead yet. So Moses is narrating all of this, even as far, you know, in Genesis, we read about Gilead. But it wasn't called that until after this. So it's just something to think about when you see these place names. It was a place for cattle. The children of Gad, now we see the reversal of the names from this point forward. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Adaroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elieli and Shebam, Nebo and Beon, probably these cities where they are very close to the southern area, which will become, for the most part, Reuben's, I believe. They see all this, and they say, wow, this is a good place. This is a beautiful place for cattle. Look at the plains and the lush, the valley, and such like that. Even the country with the Lord smote. It was attributed, the victory was attributed to the Lord that they just won earlier against Sihon and Og. Remember that? Even the country with the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants, hello, reason, thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, on account of this, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. This is the land which the whole host of the nation of Israel only recently conquered. Together they did this. Numbers chapter 21, we read about it, where the kings of Sihon and Og, giants, lived in the city of Heshbon and the kingdom of Bashan up north further. And so the remarks are at first perceived by Moses to be a rejection of the land of promise. Oh, no, not again. When he first heard this, it must have just probably turned him white. I can't believe you're going to do this again. It's kind of the idea that I get from reading. And Moses said, to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and shall you sit here? Really? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? So is it right for you to stay here where we have all fought to have this land here, while the others must go on and fight over there? Is that proper? Now, I want you to understand, get a little bit of perspective here. It's something you're going to have to hold in your mind. I have it in writing, and it took a bit to get some of this, but I really appreciate it myself. But the size of the number of the people that are being considered is pretty big. Let me just say that it equals more than the entire southern camp that we just talked about, Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. Take Simeon out of the picture, and as we see, put in half of the number of the warriors that Manasseh has, and it exceeds the whole camp for warriors. So it's better than 1/4 of the entire camp of Israel. That's under consideration. So it's a big deal. So we need some explanation about this. It's quite understandably Moses is disturbed at hearing this. So he says to them, thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Remember that? I'm sure they do. They've been out here for 40 years wandering on account of the rejection of the land to come into the land then. For when they went up onto the valley of Eshcol, the valley of the great clusters, and saw the land, they discouraged the heart. Remember the 10 tribes that came back with a bad report? They discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, meaning then, and he sware, saying, surely none of them that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not followed me. Remember, all of them died in the wilderness along the way. Only two were left, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger, Moses still reiterating to them, reminding them, the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. We read that in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Now, and behold, the seriousness of you are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men to augment, to add, yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if you turn away from after him, He will yet again lead them into wilderness, and ye shall destroy the people. Does another whole generation, at least, have to die out here before we ever come into the land? Are we going to have to do this all over again? And so Moses was pretty concerned about this. And it came near unto him, who? At this moment, I understand it to be Gad and Reuben. And they came near unto him and said, to clarify, here's what we want. We will build. Now that word build also means to rebuild. And I think that's important when you think about what's going on here. The idea of repairing. They had destroyed so many places and burned it with fire that can repair some of this. We will build sheepfolds. That means sheep pens, sheep enclosures, here for our cattle, and cities for our little ones. The places are already cleared. We can rebuild and reconstruct these places. And that's exactly what they would do, too, by the way. So much of this would be simply rebuilt, repaired. But we ourselves, notice what they say, will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them, our brethren, that want to live on the other side, the western side of the River Jordan, until we brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell. Here's the idea. Our little ones, in the meantime, shall dwell in fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We still have enemies. So we're going to bring you the sense of what's being said here in just a moment. But we will not return to our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side, the western side, Jordan, or forward. Because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side, on the east side, Jordan. Now, I mentioned its meaning to rebuild, repair what had been destroyed. As Benjamin would do in Judges, I'm not going to go there, but I want to refer to it. As Benjamin would do in Judges chapter 21, verse 23, to rebuild, same word. For build here, to rebuild their cities after Israel had set them on fire. So Reuben and Gad, and also the half-tribe of Manasseh is coming up. So Reuben and Gad propose, this is it. They propose to leave a good military presence to rebuild and protect their interests here while they commit a certain and sufficient number of their warriors to go on to fight with their brethren on the other side, the western side of the Jordan River. That's exactly what they're saying. I'll show you something. It seems like leaving behind a good military presence was necessary because there were enemies all around them. It is certain that the Amorites were not eradicated from the land. You could go to Joshua 5:1 and chapter 10, verse 5 of Joshua and see that much. So they're still there. They destroyed those that were in those cities, those that they came to. But they didn't destroy all of them. They did not. Now, I want you to get a good perspective of the military forces involved. Totally. I'm going to give you some numbers. So to get that perspective, let's consider all the facts. Consider the camp sizes and the total number of warriors without including Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. And then how many Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh are committed? How many of them are committed to fight on the western side of Jordan? Because the scriptures do tell us. How many that are meant to be left behind to rebuild and protect. It's a significant number. And all of these are considered, all of these things considered, we have the grand total, if you've done all your figuring right, of Israel's military force. Judah's camp, for example, is 201,300. If I could round these up, let's just say these like this. Judah's camp is 200,000. Reuben's camp without Simeon, or I'm sorry, Reuben's camp only with Simeon, because Gad and Reuben are going to stay. We want to exclude them from Reuben's camp, just Simeon, was 22,000. Ephraim's camp, that would be Ephraim, Benjamin, and half of Manasseh, because half's Dan. They're 104,000. Dan's camp is 163,000. Now, the total warriors going to the east side without Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh is almost 500,000 warriors. And now, we know from the Word of God, they committed 40,000 soldiers, warriors. 40,000 are going to go fight that belong to Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh. 40,000. That means, because we know the whole size of this force, that means that they left behind 70,000 plus warriors to protect their interests on the east side. Okay? Now, all of that would equal the total number in Numbers 26:51. If we took all of those numbers, add them together, if we've done our math right, over 600,000 warriors. And the numbers are correct. And there's another consideration I'd like to bring here. And that's the land mass on the east side. The land mass in light of the numbers here. There's going to be 530 above plus 1,000 soldiers going over to fight. 530. 70 stay back. 530,000, over that many, go in to fight. The landmass that they just took, the nation of Israel, 600,000 plus soldiers, took this whole landmass that probably equals 1/4. If you take and add the other side, western and eastern together, it probably is about 1/4 of the size. So they have, what I'm saying is, they have sufficient numbers, and the Lord being their helper, to easily take this land, take it, possess it for themselves, with 500,000 plus. Now, verse 20, Moses said unto them, if you'll do this thing, this is the agreement, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, in other words, brought under their dominion, then afterwards ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, you will be judged by the Lord for it. Build you. Go ahead. Begin. Build you or repair you cities for your little ones and folds or enclosures for your sheep. And do that which has proceeded out of your mouth. Do that. And the children of Gad, the children of Reuben spake to Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. So we have an idea where they're located. A beautiful area, mostly in the middle between, on the eastern side of the river, between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. But thy servants will pass over. We know so many of them. Will pass over, every man armed for war before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. So, concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, remember it's all this back and forth, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. All the work that they've done, everything forfeited, they're to come on over if they will not keep the word. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has said, unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours. You know, you read this and you think, why is it so repetitive and repetitive? You know, it's a good thing because it's clear. They understand what's being said by the time this dialogue is over. It takes real work to communicate effectively with one another. It takes real work. And if you want to do it well, you're gonna spend some time, especially in written communications. It takes a lot of effort, but by doing that, you eliminate a lot of misunderstanding. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, and here we are. This is the first time it's mentioned, but they're in there to the half of the tribe of Manasseh. And I never thought of this like this, but that really means half of the tribe. Only half will stay, and half is going to go over. Half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sion, they gave them this. Kingdom of Sion, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with the cities thereof, and the cities, even the cities of the country round about. And the children of Gad built, or rebuilt, Dibon. They had destroyed this place. They built Dibon, Ataroth, Aroer, and Atroth, and Shophan, and Jazer, and Jogbiah, and Beth Nimra, and Beth Haram, fenced cities, and folds, enclosures for the sheep, the cattle, all them. And the children of Reuben, they built or rebuilt Heshbon and Elealeh and Kirjatham and Nebo and Baal-meon. Their names being changed, they were named after their gods. And so they were not to mention these gods. The Lord had commanded them not to do that, not have that. And so they gave them proper names. Shibma and gave other names to the cities which they builded. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, let me read a couple of these, beginning at verse 12 at this point, and we'll move down just a little bit as we go. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 12, and this land which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, unto half Mount Gilead, halfway up, and the cities thereof gave I to the Reubenites and the Gadites. That's what's happening right here. Verse 16. And unto the Reubenites, unto the Gadites, I gave from Gilead, even to the river Arnon, south half the valley. And the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The plain also, and Jordan, and the coast thereof, from Kinnereth, or even to the sea of Galilee, of the plain, even the salt sea, under Ashdoth Pisgah, eastward. Verse 39 in our text, and then we'll read verse 13 in Deuteronomy 3. And the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it and dispossessed, what? See, they're not eradicated. Dispossessed the Amorite, which was in it. In Deuteronomy 3:13, and the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, you're moving way up north now, heading toward Mount Hermon, being above the Sea of Galilee, being the kingdom of Og, gave I to the half tribe of Manasseh all the region of Argob. I think that's actually the area up to Mount Hermon, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. Verse 15, and I gave Gilead to Machir, son of Manasseh, so forth. So back in our text, and Moses gave Gilead unto Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt therein. And it appears that Moses did this. I don't know how Manasseh ended up getting involved in it, but Moses did this. They gave the land to Machir because he was a man of war. He was a valiant man. In Joshua, it says, verse 1, there was also a lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph, to wit, for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war. Therefore, he had Gilead and Bashan. Beautiful land. A good land. Verse 41, we're almost done. And Jair, again, son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof, I take that to mean around Kinnereth, and called them that area Havoth-Jair. And then Nobah, I don't know anything about him, went and took Kenath and the villages thereof around that, and called it Nobah after his own name. Now, and so this conquest must have been done soon after Moses gave to them the terms of this agreement. And this being done, they're prepared for the time when Israel should cross the Jordan River. Ultimately, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh met their burden and returned to their inheritance. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 22, verse 1. Lord willing, we're going to make our way over there, but just to show you that they did meet the terms of this agreement and did have a possession on the eastern side of the Jordan River. In Joshua chapter 22, beginning at verse 1, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side, Jordan. Now, I don't know how this land came into consideration, except I think just to tell you something, that when Abraham and Lot separated, Abraham said, you know, the land, it's just too many of us. Our herdsmen are fighting and such. You pick out where you want to go, and I'll go the other way. And Lot saw Sodom and Gomorrah area, beautiful, and he chose that. Lord took Abraham aside, though. He says, look everywhere you go. Look everywhere, east, west, north, south. Look at it all. I'm giving it to you. And I think that he obviously saw across the river Jordan, and this was a part that would be theirs. That's all I can think of here, why it would come into consideration. But verse 5 of Joshua, now finish this reading in 22. Take diligent heed, while you're over there, take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, a servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now, to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan. But unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also to their tents, then he blessed them, and he spake unto them, saying, return, and this all the spoils they had taken along, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, and with much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh. Shiloh is where the tabernacle would be parked, which is in the land of Canaan, to go into the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. That's what this is all about here, how the land ended up being considered a part of the nation of Israel. So it's pretty interesting reading, things to consider. Thank you for your attention.